Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Hello. Nice of you to join us. Are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin. Today, let me gently cajole you out of your literary lethargy, your etymological ennui. Apoplexy, anesthetized, stupefied, and okay, enough of that. Today, as we begin our 12th series, I know, 12, right? We wander out of the frigid wilderness of ignorance and look to warm ourselves by the comfy campfire of cognition. So gather ye round, and let us get some sensation back as we explore numb, which we find in Uncle Will's tale of madness, manipulation, and perhaps one of the worst monarchical retirement plans in history. It is indeed William's 1606 tale of King Lear. The play so far. Our titular monarch, in a staggering example of royal misjudgment, decides to divide his kingdom not by merit, but by how extravagantly his daughters can profess their love for him. Goneril and Regan, the elder two butter-lipped bootlickers, gush like sycophantic sirens to their father, but the honest and candid Cordelia refuses to gild the lily and is promptly disinherited. Meanwhile, in a subplot robust enough for its own tragedy, Gloucester's illegitimate son, Edmund, grows tired of being a familial footnote and decides to frame his innocent brother, Edgar, for treason. Suddenly, Edgar, once the respectable son of a respectable earl, is pursued across the countryside like a fox in a royal hunt. Every port, gate, and sheep-nibbled back road is ordered to seize him for a crime he didn't commit. So, rather than run, Edgar decides to hide in plain sight, a disguise not only of clothes, but demeanor. In his brief but vital Act 2, Scene 3 soliloquy, Edgar methodically outlines his transformation, griming his face, knotting his hair, exposing his skin to the elements, mutating himself into the grotesque and barely human bedlam beggar, poor Tom.
Without faith, the winds and persecutions of the sky. The country gives me proof and precedent of bedlam beggars who with roaring voices strike in their numbed and mortified bare arms.
Now, to numb. Pricks. The word hails from ancient Germanic roots, nimmen, meaning to take, seize, or grasp. Then via the Old Norse nema and Old English numen, which meant taken, particularly taken by cold, as in losing sensation. By the time of Middle English, it shapeshifts through nome, nome with two M's, num with a final B, and finally numb. The addition of the letter B like dumb and thumb seems to come strangely from a printing enthusiasm of the time. William would, before Lear, use numb in his Venus and Adonis, where love freezes pretty much into paralysis. So, our word journeys from seized to frozen to emotionally flattened. And with that, we can wrap up, and wrap ourselves up in the cozy overquilt of understanding, and dream of next week as we slide gently into that Floydian state of tranquil detachment. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell. Until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.